On the cover, we see a scene of pirates sword fighting from the inside of the barrel of a cannon. All three of our heroes are engaged in combat of some form, but none of them have yet seen the cannon or the threat it represents.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
I'm Direct Impact, and you can't stop me from making a difference.
The Navigator, charting the course on seas mystic and mundane.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Splinter Division issue number 4, A Splinter Division. The first panel of our comic is an enormous full moon, bright in the sky, hanging over the silhouette of this dark island at night. And we see across the face of the moon a streak of two small figures leaping off of a pirate ship. And we see a beach with the waves kind of like washing up, and then just like a boom, as with an enormous amount of force, Direct Impact and Alina land on this beach and kick up a bunch of sand. And as it sort of settles, there's a little bit of a crater of dug out into this area, and the sand starts to like rain down on them. You're a little ways away. You're sort of offset from the docks and the storage area. But you're close to that. And in the background, you can hear that sort of unperturbed by your leaping both ways. The raucous pirates are sort of contained within the warmly lit taverns on a couple different tiered areas of this island. And you can hear from the furthest one the sounds of fighting that you left behind, Alina, where there's still kind of... Captain Hawkins is wreaking havoc, looking
just
for the Navigator.
Tossing rooms, you know, yeah, like just throwing stuff out of windows and stuff.
Yeah, maybe we get like a whole pirate tossed out a window, into the cobblestone streets of this pirate island.
One metric pirate.
Yeah, one metric pirate. How do you, Alina? You have not leapt with Direct Impact before, so how have you taken that?
She is kind of enchanted with it. It's just like, it's like an adrenaline rush. It's like, whee! And she, so like, as we make impact, like that kind of just snaps her back into like, oh yeah, this is like my junior recruit. And I'm just like, you know, like sort of like scrambling to get to my feet and like stand upright and say, thank you very much.
Anytime.
Spalding. Now, where was this blurry figure you spoke of?
And you see me, my head, you know, panel where my head's facing one way and then the other, hoping that they're still on this beach.
I think when you look over to where you were before, you do see like a blurry head pacing back and forth between the barrels.
Oh, that's them over there.
Okay, can I have been reading the files? Is this
sure?
All right.
As you get closer and see the full blurry
yes,
form.
Yes, as we're like, oh my god.
So
snake eyes.
You've learned about things in the superhuman world through your mentor's resources. When you first encounter an important supernatural phenomenon, you're going to roll. So you did not get a hit. On a miss, the situation is well outside your knowledge. The GM will tell you why. I think that maybe on occasion you have heard the asset. Like there was a big incident recently, there was a period of time where you heard the asset like cursing under his breath about blurry people, mm-hmm. and so that's why it like triggered your memory. But But like, he hasn't shared those files with you yet. They're pretty new. Like, he hasn't fully put them in the system yet. And so you have access to all the files that he's like put into the system formally, but these are sitting on his desk. He's still been working through them. He hasn't like input them yet. And so you're sort of aware that there are files there to be read, but you haven't been given access yet.
So I just approach the blurry figure and say, hello, good evening. I understand that you were talking to my associate earlier this evening. Might I ask what your name is? I am Alina.
I'm Dr. Ulysses.
Dr. Ulysses.
It's nice to meet you, Alina. Are you, you're also not from this? And they kind of gesture at the pirate thing.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit more about what this is? I mean,
it's an island.
There's a our city. I've seen it. It's not far off this coast, but this island has never been here before. So where did it come from? How did it just appear?
I think it's a piece of something. It's a piece of another universe that got here. I think that's how I got here. I think that's what this is too.
So you're from another universe, not this one.
Yes, not I am also pirate. Not from your universe either. And I'm clearly not a pirate.
They come in all shapes and sizes, madame. Madame. Madam. Okay. So, Alina has been to other universes.
Yeah.
So she has, and she has a very dear friend in Fracture,
mm-hmm.
who deals like almost exclusively with universes.
Yeah, dying ones, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, how long can a universe last if there's chunks missing?
Probably not long. Dr. Ulysses probably kind of like crouches down and encourages you to do the same, and like waves both of the two of you to like get closer and hide behind these boxes as like a couple pirates walk past. And she says, look, when we built a thing in my universe and it broke everything, and it was what held together like a piece of it, and we landed here, we ran into some kids, and when we stopped the machine, that was when our splinter dissolved, I guess is the right word. It's complicated.
But you didn't dissolve with it.
I wasn't in it at the time. I made it out.
There was
a guy in a suit. He was getting people out, and I went with him. He came to help shut off the machine.
I didn't
catch his name.
No one ever does.
But presumably there's something here, a machine or something else that broke this world or broke off this piece at least.
Well,
and it's holding it together.
This is a pirate universe. There aren't any machines, really.
Mm. Well,
the other one said something about a compass.
They have magical machines here.
I see. Right. Right. They do have magic. So when you deactivated the machine from your planet, that's what stopped the universe from intruding on this one.
Yes.
So if we were to get this compass, probably if this compass is in fact the thing that's keeping this shard intact here, we might be able to disintegrate the rest of this piece.
Yeah, find some way to suppress the whatever energy or power it's generating. And ours was a generator. It was a power creation distribution device. And it was too aggressive. It was a mistake. It was a mistake to build it, and it was a mistake to run it. And when we turned it off, that was when things let go.
Okay.
So if you can find the thing and suppress its power, that would remove the splinter, I think.
Okay.
I think. I don't know.
Yes. I believe you. Thank you very much. You've been very helpful, Dr. Ulysses. Have you just been on this island by yourself all this time?
When I noticed that there was another splinter, I can see it, I think, because I'm not, like, I can see the edges of it because I'm not, like, I'm not from your universe, and so it looks clearer to me. In the way that I'm not clear to you, it's clearer to me. And so when I saw the splinter start to form, I went to it to see if I could figure out what's doing this.
I see.
So I haven't been here long now.
Okay. So she's going to put that in her back pocket and turn to Sky and say, okay, we need to get that compass. Any ideas?
Well, we could just try to take it from her directly.
This is like going to be a core conflict, I guess, right?
Yes.
Ms. Alina, who can never do anything, just ever.
Alina, the most complicated way possible, Mars, and direct impact. So actually, as you are like,
I'm going to blink. And when I start blinking at you, that gives you the opportunity to just dash off if you'd like.
I think that you start to have that conversation about how to handle this, and we're going to cut away to the navigator on the ship. You were told to stay here out of the way to not incur the wrath of the captain. What are you really doing that? What are you actually doing?
Well, so that actually does make some sense to the navigator, who on a scale of Alina to Sky, I think is a little closer to the Alina side of the spectrum in terms of his approach to tactics and strategy. And so he understands her point about the captain's emotional reaction to him being a potential strategic piece in their favor. But he's also trying to cultivate a pirate army.
Yeah.
So he's going to start with the 7 pirates and the 1 parrot on the ship.
You have a different number of pirates every single time.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, because they show up and sometimes they leave. They're pirates is what they do.
Okay.
Is that the kind of thing that we would roll for? Is that a sort of thing that would play out in a scene? Like what? How does one start a mutiny?
Yeah, so let's do this. Let's use Galileo as a proxy for the crew.
Okay, I'm comfortable with that.
And so I guess let's set this scene where you are on the ship. The ship is either docked or about to dock. The crew are like kind of like doing their business of hauling the sails up and throwing off lines. And Galileo is sort of doing his parrot thing, chilling by the wheel. And presumably that's when you approach him to make this pitch.
Yeah, I think the navigator maybe even is manning the wheel himself, which is certainly not the first time he's done that as the Ocean Splendor's sometimes navigator. And it's probably not even the first time he's been sort of de facto in command of the ship at times that the captain has been ashore and doing stuff. But it certainly hits different right now. And so he's kind of having this sort of reflective moment. He's got like one hand on the wheel, just cautiously guiding it in as they're sort of casting lines and stuff. And so he's kind of gazing around the ship and he's looking off onto the shore and he's having a very sort of, you know, gaze out into the middle distance, kind of, you know, tilt the head back piratical moment. And he's going to turn his head sideways to Galileo and say, "Now, parrot, we must have a parley, you and I."
You could use my name.
Of course.
Galileo.
There has been a mutiny already aboard this ship. When Hawkins turned against me, she turned against this crew.
Most of us weren't kicked off the ship.
I know it seems that way to you, but hear me out. Galileo, the compass that the captain holds is far more powerful than even she understands. It is far more powerful than even I understood when I first discovered it for her. It is consuming and destroying her. It will consume and destroy this ship. It is possible it will even consume and destroy this world. And so, in order to save this ship from her, to save this world from her, we all must rally around me and take the compass back from Hawkins. In a second mutiny, to undo the first. So, on behalf of the crew, Galileo, small parrot that you are you with me?
And he kind of ruffles his feathers and kind of puffs up a little bit. And now I would like you to make a provoke roll.
Yes, okay. I'm ready to do this. I have no idea what stat that's with.
Superior.
Oh, that's excellent news. Oh, and I rolled an 11. Nice. Plus 2 is 13.
Nice. So on a 10 plus, they rise to the bait and do what you want. So the Galileo has been around a bit. He is a weathered parrot and has seen the captain. He was there when you guys went when the crew went ashore to find the compass. He was there when you teleported the ship the first time. He's seen the damage it's done to her. He's heard the breaking when you were kicked off the ship. So he's like, this all jives with what he knows and has seen. And also, he's a parrot, and you're making a compelling argument in the moment. And I think that Captain Hawkins has probably been ruder to him than you have. And so he is going to say, new captain sounds fine by me. Let's not break the world. And so Galileo is going to fly over to the other pirates who are kind of like gathered on the main deck now. And as they finish up their work to tie off the ship and kind of convey that message to them that they're going to follow you.
So as the 9 pirates on the ship line up,
yes.
Kepler's going to sort of like, kind of almost like an inspecting the troops type thing. Mm-hmm. But of course they're pirates, so that's not an organized line, and like they're not all there at the same time, and somebody's eating a banana, and you know, there's all kind of, you know, it's not really super organized. He's going to say to Galileo, oh, and one more thing. My old quarters down in the lower decks. I assume Hawkins hasn't completely disposed of my effects. Would you bring me my hat?
One moment. And he'll fly off. I also think that mechanically you would have had some time while this was going on to restock your supplies.
I was going to ask you about that too. Thank you.
Cool. So after a moment, the Galileo flies back up with, tell me what your pirate hat looks like.
So the navigator's pirate hat is, it's one of the gesturing, like this isn't an audio medium.
Yeah.
It's one of the 2 pointed pirate hats. So it's just left and right. Bicorn? Is that a word? It's a bicorn hat. It does not contain a feather, but it does have a couple of like, I don't know, like gemstone or crystals or something sort of embedded into the fabric that all have, you know, magical significance. Magic. Some of them have magic. Some of them are just decorative and only he knows which ones are which. some of the ones that look the most magical are actually the decorative ones. And it's the sort of small, unassuming, you know, plain looking stone like ones that are actually the magical ones. But it's just otherwise it's like a black cloth bicorn hat and not particularly large, but certainly piratical. And so he'll take it from the parrot and sort of very cautiously but deliberately settle it on his head and take a deep breath and exhale. And he'll turn to his men who have gathered around the deck with him, and he'll gesture out to the docks and the tavern beyond, and he'll say, our course now lies ashore, men.
So we're going to cut back to Alina and Skye, where you have been arguing maybe quietly about the best approach here. What did you settle on? How are you addressing this?
I mean, I'm cool with doing whatever Alina wants. I just suggested that earlier because she did ask.
So Alina is... we're now... creeping. Ooh, let's creep around where the captain is, because it's not hard to figure out where she is. You just follow the noise. So should I use straight up creeping?
You have enough freedom here to do one of them. So whichever of those questions makes more sense to you.
I want to assess the situation.
Okay, yeah. You're not creeping. You can get up and maybe even in this tavern without anyone really noticing. Like,
so I had kind of imagined that she had moved on from the tavern, like ground level, to like the room, like how they have boarding rooms above tavern sometimes. Mm-hmm. So she's just like tossing random people's hotel rooms, essentially.
Yeah, we see another panel of someone being tossed through a second story window now, and onto the cobblestone below.
And Alina just sort of sidesteps as it right before impact.
So give me that roll.
Okay, so I rolled a 6, 7, 8, 9, plus superior 10, 11.
Cool. Wow. So, okay, so you get to ask two questions.
All right, so who here is the most vulnerable to me?
Absent the crew of the Ocean's Plunder, a lot of these pirates were like well underway towards having a pretty drunken evening when you guys got here. And so most of these pirates, although armed to the teeth and pretty competent fighters, are a lot less sober than you are. Okay. And so you're going to be able to sort of one-on-one take down any of these individual pirates, I think.
Okay. What here can I use to, I guess, what could I use to remove the compass? Or contain the compass? How am I going to transport this compass? Is there something around that I can use?
Like if you want to avoid touching it?
Yeah. I'm not quite sure how it works.
Yeah, that's fair. Because this is a place where people come in and transfer goods, there's like a lot of like economy happening here. There are a number of chests and crates and sort of containers of all sizes, just kind of lying around outside a lot of these merchant shops. So there is almost certainly a smallish chest that you could grab and then drop the compass in and to carry it without having to touch it.
So there's chests nearby.
Yeah, there's a lot of like stuff all over the place. Okay. So like there's a couple chests that people would have put like gemstones or gold in to sell to a merchant here. Maybe something more appropriate would be like there are crates for like finely handcrafted pistols where you could like because I'm thinking about what the compass is a little bit larger than a regular compass. It's maybe like 6 to 8 inches diameter. And so it's sort of like on that scale of size. And so there's a bunch of boxes here that have external handles that you could pop open, drop the compass in, slam it shut, and then carry that around without having to touch it.
Okay. Okay. All right. So I'm going to turn to Sky and say, all right, so this is going to be a gamble, but it's going to work. Okay. Just remember that the attack word is toast.
Toast.
Got it. And so I grab her in a way that looks a lot more menacing than it is around the neck. And I just shout out, as Captain Hawkins, I require your attention, madam.
Another person gets kicked out of a second story window. And the captain sticks her head out of this freshly broken window and looks down at you. And says, "My new navigator. Have you gotten my old navigator?"
"No, I haven't. But I did find his companion, and she can lead us straight to him."
And so the captain is going to kind of like look at you a little bit, tilt her head, and then like put like one. She has one like skeletal hand. That she reaches up and grabs onto the like broken glass of the window and like pulls herself up and jumps out of this second story window, landing kind of with a little bit of dust in front of you. And she sheathes her sword and walks up to you, and she's going to look at you, Sky, and say, "Who are you? What is your affiliation with my old navigator?"
I think I'm grabbing Lena's arm as if she's holding me around the neck too tightly. And I say, he just helped me get to this island. That's all.
He's going to die here. Do you want to die here as well?
I wasn't working with him.
That's what you say now that you know that I'm going to kill you if you were.
Tell her what you told me. What is his mission?
He's trying to take back your ship.
Hmm. Speaking of taking back your ship, where are you? I think we probably at this point see like a large group of maybe like half a dozen or a dozen pirates marching up from the docks. Not quite here yet, but at the front of them of this like group is clearly the navigator and with his new hat. And I think that Hawkins is going to look over your shoulder, Sky and Alina, and then look back at you and say, "Well, what do you know? It seems like he is, and it seems like he's here to do it right now." and she's gonna, I think she's gonna pull her sword out again and say, and point to you, Sky, and say, "Well, make your choice. Are you siding with him or are you siding with me?"
And she's still gripping Alina's arm, and she says, "I'll work with you."
And she's going to say, "Well, I won't kill you yet, then." and if he doesn't either, then we'll see how useful you were.
Okay. So Alina is going to push Sky towards Hawkins as sort of a, "You're on our side now. Here you go." And as the impact of Sky into the captain, she's going to like sort of start jostling where the compass is against the captain's person, is trying to like loosen it because I assume it's secure. So she's
she wears it in like a, she has like a belt, like a special belt for it, and there's a holster that has a bunch of clasps that like grab it, but it's right at her on her hip.
Yeah, so Alina is using the opportunity of the distraction to sort of like unbuckle a couple of things and unsnap and unfasten.
I would like you to roll to unleash your powers.
It's 11.
So okay, so on a hit you do it. So yeah, you're able to loosen a couple of the maybe even more than a couple of the snaps and clasps that are holding this thing in. So it's still like it's still nestled in there, but it's not it would be available to quickly grab off of her hip if you could get close enough to her. But she is going to start to march forward. Maybe she kicks over there's like a barrel of something alcoholic and flammable. And she kicks this barrel over and then pulls out a pistol and shoots it. And it starts to like, it lights on fire with the spark from the gunshot. And, this like flaming barrel is going to start to roll, along the road down to where you are, navigator, and it's like right straight at, like, she's basically bowling with a barrel of alcohol, straight towards your group of mutineers. And she's going to yell to summon her own crew. So what are you doing about this flaming barrel?
Well, it's time to chart a new course for that barrel. I would like to do magic.
Okay. Tell me how that works. What's that look like?
So, fortunately, I was able to restock my supplies. Mm-hmm. So knowing that he was going into battle, he sort of reloaded all of his various magical implements and stuff, and so Charles is able to very quickly assemble a sort of, I guess the modern world version would be like a concussion grenade type thing. Obviously that's not something that would happen in the pirate universe, but it's like a little mini shockwave pusher thing of magic, and so that's what I'm gonna try to do using Always Prepared.
All right, so that sounds like you're trying to roll to unleash your powers using your Always Prepared. So uncheck one of those boxes and then roll unleash your powers with the superior.
It's 5 on the dice. Plus 2 is 7.
So on a hit, you do it. On a 7 to 9, you can either mark a condition or I'll tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary.
I will.
I'll tell you right now, it's probably not going to be temporary.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Actually, I could make it temporary.
I'll take unstable or temporary.
Okay. So this is what's going to happen. I actually came up with a really good temporary. So you throw out this. What does the device look like before it like concussion blasts?
So he, it's more of like a little hex than it is a device. He, using a couple sort of magical ingredients, like a little piece of flint and a little scrap of iron and a couple of other things, he quickly cobbles together a little sort of runic thing in the air ahead of him, and he sort of rolls it together into a ball and then hurls it out in front of him, and it sort of flashes into a big sort of wave of force.
Okay, so you, so actually I think that what happens is you it's, you're on a little bit of a slope, there's like a whole bunch of yelling people behind you.
Absolutely.
It's been a minute since you did this kind of a thing, and you kind of don't hit the barrel at the right angle, because I think that you were hoping to like, you were hoping to hurl it up and like maybe off into the bay somewhere, into the water. Instead it just goes straight up. And so it's gone for now, but everything that goes up comes back down. And so you're going to have a little bit of time to like get people out of the way, but unless you do something else, this barrel is going to come back down and explode.
I have an idea, but if somebody else wants to do something,
what are the rest of you doing?
Maybe it's more appropriate.
I mean, Alina isn't going to let anybody get squashed by a flaming barrel. Except maybe the captain.
Okay. The captain has definitely drawn her sword and now rallied a couple of her pirates, some of the tougher looking ones from some of the taverns, who are looking for a good fight and maybe were looking to beat up on some of their crew members who were a little more mutinous to begin with. And so,
ooh, maybe this is time for me to say toast.
Maybe.
You feel like sword fighting now?
Sure. She all turned her back on us, right? So
yeah, she absolutely did.
Yeah. So I just look over. I mean, we're all momentarily distracted by this barrel going straight up into the air.
On fire.
And just be like, and Alina, like, can you, there's just a panel of like Alina being like, mental note, don't be here when that comes down. And then looks at Sky and goes, toast, and unsheathes her sword with a shick sound and just starts like sort of, you know, disarming and sword fighting anybody who's in range.
Okay. You're just attacking like random pirates who are near you. I guess who is attacking? Are either of you going to go for the captain and take advantage of this fact that she doesn't? Is that Sky? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can go after. So she turned her back to us. Now, is it like a slope that she's walking down, or
it's only a slight?
Okay, just barely. Okay. So she's
enough that a barrel would roll in that direction.
Yeah. So she's just got the compass loose in its holster. I'm going to try to just run, try to run past her and run up to her. And then if I get the compass, run past her. If not, then fight her if I can't.
Okay. I think that sounds like you, I think that sounds like you're trying to attack her from behind.
Yeah.
Roll to directly engage a threat.
Yes. That is a 12.
Nice. So you trade blows, and on 10 plus, you get to choose two from this list.
And if I wanted to cause significant collateral damage, I could choose another option too.
Even on a miss. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's up to you.
Yeah, let me look at the list first. Let me look at the list first before I...
I'm assuming that one of them is going to be take something from her.
I want to take the compass. That's like my highest priority. I think this would also, if she is focused on me, that would create an opportunity for my allies at the same time. So I think that makes sense to take. Yeah, so on 10 plus pick two. Yeah, so I think narratively just picking those two is good.
Okay.
I think since I'm just hitting a person, I don't know about collateral damage. Since I'm just trying to run past her.
Yeah, so you're not even really
see how she reacts.
You're not even really kind of you're sort of like barreling towards her and maybe like body checking her, but you're not really like, you're not going to like engage in sword fighting with her. You're just trying to
I don't have a sword. I'm trying not to be next to her for very long. Okay. Whether that works out,
yeah,
we shall see. But
okay, cool. So, you did not select resist or avoid her blows.
Yeah.
So let's see. So you barrel towards her, or you rush towards her. Sort of like body check her, get up in her business, grab the compass out of the holster and like sort of like push off against her and rush away. Or would you like just rush past her towards where the navigator is, or would you turn around to like keep her facing you? Or would you
Just picturing this scene, I am running past her towards the navigator.
Okay.
Towards the ship.
And so she is going to, I think that maybe she hasn't quite clocked that you stole her compass yet, but she is going to quickly, before you get too far away, raise her pistol and take a shot at you. And I think that like you're pretty tough, but this is like a kind of a blunderbussy type pistol.
Yeah.
And so even just the force of it is pretty tough. Mm-hmm. And so I think I would like you to take a powerful blow.
All right. That is I don't have any conditions. That's a 9.
Cool. So in a 7 to 9, you choose one from the bottom list.
Yes, I will. I mean, I think it's kind of fun if she gets an opportunity.
Okay.
So I think I will give ground. My opposition gets an opportunity because this hit has, like, you know, stunned me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So here's what happens. So you're like, just like you've grabbed this thing, off of her and you're running, past her, but she like, just like shoots you square in the back with this pistol, which doesn't really like hurt you, but it does like knock you over because you're a little off balance still. And so you fall and like hit, face plant in the cobblestone here. And she's going to walk up to you and like put one boot on your back to like kind of pin you down. She doesn't know that you're super strong yet. But I think that is the opportunity that Alina, you've been in this moment, you both like made an attack. Alina, you had a moment of sword fighting with a couple of the other pirates that had come to her side. But like I said, they're a little drunk, they're a little bit rowdy, and you're also like, you have a modern tactical mindset. You were able to sort of dispatch them pretty quickly. And when you turn around again, the captain has your friend, your new companion, your mentee, maybe, on the ground with her foot on her back, totally not paying attention to you. So you're going to have an opportunity here to do something, a pretty big one.
Yes.
Also, there's a barrel in the air. Don't forget.
Right.
I haven't.
You do see, I think, also that Skye has the compass in her hand.
Okay. Alina has just dispatched one of the people. She's thinned the herd for Charles. Essentially, also,
I guess I should point out, in addition to like having being less drunk and having a modern tactical sensibilities, Alina is also like a pretty capable swords person at this point. Like, she has done a good deal of sword fighting.
So what if she were to basically take another sword and throw it to pin down the skeletal arm down like deep into the ground.
Like throw a sword.
Yeah.
So that it hits like between the bones of the skeletal arm and like knocks her off of Skye and like pins her to the ground.
Yeah. Basically,
awesome. So
you can use your telekinesis to guide it. It's fine.
Yeah. I think that given that you have an opportunity and that given that this is not really, you're not really trying to damage her, you're just trying to like pin her to the ground. I think I'm not going to ask you to roll for this because I think that's like, that's the payoff of the big opportunity. Okay. So tell me what this looks like. Like, describe this in a cool way.
Okay. So basically, Alina has been sort of sword fighting gentlemen and gentle ladies. And sort of, she's got like a collection of swords, like, littered around her feet now, because she doesn't let anybody, like, leave with weapons still on them. So she just kicks one up to her hand and sees the boot on Skye's back, and just immediately she does one of those, she tosses the sword first and then catches it midair and then throws it like a dart or a missile, nice, sailing through the air and driving deep into the ground, going through like the ulna in the skeletal arm and just driving deep into the ground, giving hopefully Skye an opportunity to.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that not prepared to see that, not seeing this coming, literally, she's facing away. And also, she still thinks that you're on her side. And with like the force of this, it pulls her off of Skye. I think that the bone arm is also her sword arm. So it's pulled her sword like away from Skye. Maybe the sword even goes scattering away from her. And she's gonna be pinned to the ground for a moment here while she sort of figures out what's going on. So Skye, you feel the weight of the boot on your back lift off. How do you react to that?
I think I'm gonna scramble to my feet, trying to keep a hold of the compass. I think I'm going to throw the compass towards Alina.
Cool. How are you going to catch that, Alina? Are you going to grab it? Are you going to try to telekinesis it into a box somewhere?
I catch it in a beer stein. One of those metal beer steins.
Absolutely.
It's a really big one.
Yes.
And they're pirates.
Yeah. She's got it's one with a lid on it. So she like opens the lid.
Yeah. Yeah. Amongst all the swords that you've just been disarming anyone who comes near you, and so
she's just a weapons magpie. She just like
so you've got this pile of swords, but like one of the people who came out wasn't armed with a sword. They were just armed with this large beer sign, and so you were like, ah, perfect. This is great.
Is there still beer in it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. A little bit, not a lot.
So it's a splash.
Yeah, it's a little splash, and then the lid on the top clicks shut.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, I just grab her. I grab Skye and say, "Run!" Because
Navigator, you've seen all of this as you've brought your sort of your mutinous horde of maybe like 15 pirates towards this towards the group, and you've seen your captain kind of get bested by these two people who were strangers to you only moments ago, only days ago. And now they are running straight towards you with the compass. How do you react to that?
Also, there's a flaming barrel in
there. Also, there's a flaming barrel, probably not a good place to be.
So, according to pirate logic, flaming barrels in the air, if you shoot them, they explode?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. I'm going to do that. Is that a threat I'm directly engaging, or am I defending my crew?
I get like so. If you're exploding the barrel to make sure it doesn't fall on your crew, then that's
yeah. No, I'm not using it offensively.
Okay, then yes.
So Charles has equipped himself with some additional flintlock pistols since leaving the ship. So he's got like a brace of like four of them. So he's going to pull one out and sort of kind of like take aim at the barrel and try to shoot it. See how this goes. 7 on the dice. Defend his savior. Plus 1 is 8.
Cool. So on a hit, you succeed and keep your crew safe. And then on a 7 to 9, it's going to cost you. So expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation.
Let's escalate the situation.
Okay. Okay. I got it. So you lift your eyes up and shoot this barrel, and it explodes in like a fiery blast of, and then like the like burning wood and alcohol starts to rain down. And because you're looking up towards where the tavern is, and this tavern that has been sort of the center of everything, on its roof, it's like the roof of the building is shaped to look like a ship a little bit. And so because you're you're looking up to sight this barrel to shoot, you see that one of your former crew members is wheeling a cannon towards the bow of this like mock roof ship and is pointing it down right at you, and has lit the fuse and is about to fire a cannonball like right at you.
Oh dear.
What do you do? And presumably the rest of you see this or will see this shortly. Because you all probably looked up when the explosion happened.
Yeah.
There's enough time that if one of you wants to defend him, that's basically how much time you have. But
all right.
Or if Charles wants to do something himself.
Like duck, that's all I got.
I mean, I'm all for defending him. Yeah, I was thinking that I would try to like pull him out of the way by just picking him up.
Okay. So why don't you
just
roll...
like tossing him like a football.
Why don't you roll to defend him?
That is a 9.
Nice. So you keep them safe and choose one from the list.
Yes.
Add a team to the pool, take influence over him, clear condition, and then it's also going to expose you to danger.
Yes.
Situation.
I would love to get a hold on him instead because I have there when it matters. And that hold I can spend when they are in danger later to arrive on the scene ready to help.
Oh, cool. Okay. So instead of choosing from that list, you're going to take one hold on the navigator to appear randomly later.
Okay.
Cool.
Yes.
And then it's going to cost you. Expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation.
Well, there is the option that I move him out of the way, but I don't get out of the way of the cannonball.
Escalate.
I do like the idea of you getting hit by a cannonball.
Yeah, so I think that would be exposing me to danger, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Alina is not going to be okay. She's not going to be in good shape.
So
she just... It was our first mission with the brand new...
the new person.
And she's used to very, 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 very vulnerable.
Yeah. So you dodge and like dive and push him out of the way right as the cannon fires. And maybe you have enough time to like spin and brace yourself. And this cannonball is going to hit you. And so I would like you to roll to take a powerful blow.
Yes. 10.
Oh, boy. Okay, so choose one of those things.
Yeah. Oh god, I mean, cannonball could just knock me out. I mean, like, yeah, honestly, I mean, that makes sense to me. I just took a pistol shot, and now I got hit by a cannonball. I think that's enough for Sky for right now, I think.
Okay. Tell me what this looks like as you, Sky, as you get hit by a cannonball. And like, it definitely doesn't hurt you.
Yeah.
Because you are super tough and strong, but it does knock you out.
It knocks the wind out of you.
Yeah, it knocks the wind out of me. I think I just, like, hit the cobblestone ground and I don't get up.
Do you, like, you're just, like, hugging the cannonball?
Yeah. I feel like she goes through like crates and barrels and trees and buildings and shacks.
Yeah,
and
backwards.
I like that. Yeah, I tumble into some crates. I don't have a scratch on me.
Yeah,
but I'm
Kool-Aid
breathing,
man, through some buildings.
But I'm not getting up.
Okay, so yeah, Alina, you're this. Since you've seen all of this happen, and the navigator, presumably you guys are both running towards the ship. Now Sky has beaten you there. that was part of her plan the whole time.
So Alina's just gonna like watch and just go, oh man, that would not have happened that way.
I do think that also as you are running towards the ship, you see the doctor, Dr. Ulysses, is there like already. Like she's down at the end of the dock where the ship is, like hiding behind some of the barrels. Like she was trying to stay nearby you. she's looking for a way out, basically. She does not intend to stay here on this island. And she was not also prepared to fight either. So she maybe is there to like the first person who responds to Sky when after being hit by the cannonball. So the navigator, you're also turning and running?
I think first, he would, like, grab Alina by the arm and just be like, the compass, do you have it?
Yes.
I need to see it.
No, but you can get your ass on that boat so we can get away from here.
I can't leave without the compass.
And I shake the beer sign and it sloshes and clinks. It's like, believe me, it's here.
And I think he looks up to where the cannon is and sees that they're, like, working on reloading it. Oh, and he's like... close enough. Let's go.
So you were able to run off. You're able to grab Sky, who's kind of like wheezing and out of breath, lying on the ground.
We both grab like her arm at the shoulder and like we're sort of like dragging her backwards down the
yeah,
like she's facing the cannonball.
It's mirroring the drunken pirates that yeah. we saw on the beach.
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. and I think that, so with the doctor's help, you're able, the three of you are able to like climb up the ladder on the side of the ship and get onto the boat proper. And I think that absent the parrot, the rest of the crew is not on the ship right now. So you're going to have to kind of get underway yourself. But you've already done that. You're both pretty familiar with the ship, and I'm not super interested in that moment. Is there anything, any other panels you want to describe here before we leave the pirate island?
I don't think so.
I do like the idea of, as we're sort of, we catch a wind like that in the sails immediately, and it like kind of shoots us farther away, and so as we're sort of sailing off into the horizon, we just see you see a panel of the captain's like enraged face.
Oh, yeah.
Watching us from afar sailing yeah. off.
Yeah. We see a few panels of the ship sailing. The sea is sort of is still the kind of in this roiling, dark, stormy, windy. Like you catch wind pretty quickly and move pretty fast. Are you heading back to Protean City?
Yeah.
So you get to the edge of like, so as you're sailing, you get much further than, so like if you remember vaguely where the edge of this storm was. When you came in, Alina, it's much bigger now. Like you have to almost be in the actual like docks around in the bay before like you transition out of the the stormy piratey area. And you can look back and you can kind of almost see like this gossamer like ripple that of like delineating the line in the air between where the dark stormy area is, only really because there's like storm clouds kind of roiling inside the area and not outside, and they just like hard stop at the edge of the splinter. But you're going to be able to make your way back to where you started. The asset's new base is pretty close to the water. I don't know where exactly a natural place to dock the pirate ship is, but you can figure that out later. I'm not super interested in that. Are you headed back to like what's your plan? I guess we talked about finding a way to sort of neutralize this compass. How do we want to do that?
Well, I think that might potentially be something that the navigator could do magically.
Okay. Like suppress mm-hmm. it. You think you can like suppress its magical powers?
Yeah. I mean, okay. at least enough to make it like safer for Alina to handle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why don't you...
Then a Bierstein.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're trying to unleash your powers to sort of control the energies around this compass.
Yeah, I think so.
At least temporarily. Like maybe you can't hold it permanently, but...
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a gadget you think that you can use to help you with that? Or are you just going into this making it up style?
I mean, I think it's definitely producing a new invention. Because, I think he's trying to create a container for mm-hmm. it. Something, you know, a magical container, yeah. of course, not actually a physical, like he's not trying to make a bowl, but he's trying mm-hmm. to create a spell that will contain it and prevent it from corrupting what's around it so that it can then live inside a more conventional container more safely.
Cool. Okay. Absolutely.
So, am I rolling? Is that what's happening now?
Yes. And then you're at the market condition because you've hit zero gadgets.
Yeah, that's fine. Six on dice plus superior because we're mm-hmm. gadgeting, which so is eight. Two, so eight.
Okay. So you do it, and then you can either mark a condition or I'll tell you how it's unstable or temporary.
We're definitely going to go with a condition.
Okay. So mark two conditions then.
Yep. So we are going to mark guilty. And I think maybe also hopeless.
Okay. Makes sense.
No crew, kind of responsible for all this in the first place.
Yeah. That makes sense. So yeah, just describe to me, for me, what this magical container kind of looks like as you do this spell.
Yeah. So as they're sailing back to Protean City, Charles finally persuades Alina to let him see the compass.
Begrudgingly, she does. Yes.
Right. And so he goes down to the map room, his old workshop, and just immediately gets to work on a way to contain it, which is something that is a project he had kind of already started because he knew that this thing was going to be really powerful, but it was originally meant to be a kind of like a way to install the compass on the ship permanently and use it. Because it was never designed to be used by holding it in your hand and saying, please teleport the ship, which is how Captain Hawkins got herself in trouble. But now he's come around to the belief that it's too dangerous to use at all. And so he's kind of reverse engineering his compass engine into a compass container spell instead. And so he's got all of his cabinets open. He's got all these different jars and vials of things open. He's pried the lids off of crates. He's got all of this different magical stuff scattered all over the place. There's crystals and powders and little scraps of metal and strings and little bits of cloth with some of have things scrawled on them. Some of them don't. And there's like little sparks that fly up every now and then. Every now and then something catches on fire and all this stuff is happening. And finally, after he's at this for a couple of hours, there's just this very small kind of like softly glowing like white orb that has finally encased the compass. And he just sort of slowly steps away from it. And the orb slowly gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until it gradually becomes invisible. But it's still there. And you can put your hands through it and still touch the compass, but it's containing the compass's energies, and it will also no longer work as a ship teleporter.
Great. And so you maybe bring this up onto the top deck to show Alina as this is probably coinciding with you guys getting back to a dock in Protean City. And so when you get up onto the deck of the ship, you can look back and you hear the same kind of glass shattering crack that you heard as you had been kicked off the ship at the first time. And you look back towards the ocean, and there you see this kind of like chunk of the ocean that is like the darker storm clouds, roiling dark pirate ocean that you had come out of. And you see now disconnected from the power of the compass, the whole thing starts to fade a little bit. And it's like the clouds start to dissipate a little bit. And then there's this moment when you get up on top of the deck where that whole section of ocean just lifts up into the air, maybe 20 feet. And then the islands and storm clouds and mist dissipate into and just evaporate. And then all of the water pours back in, the water that was there kind of just is released and drops back down. Some of the waves hit your ship and toss you around a little bit. But you're far enough away that the bulk of the energy wasn't kind of didn't hit you head on. And the sun comes out and the sky clears over the Protean City Bay, and whatever that was, it's gone now, leaving you in the ship and the compass here. And so I would like to jump ahead. You've docked the ship. Sky, you've been brought into the asset, and Alina help carry you into a medical bay, or you've maybe even got a bunk somewhere here in the secret base to where you can just lie and recover. I don't even know that you really need any medical assistance. You just kind of need time to start breathing again normally. The navigator, you've been maybe left on the ship to kind of get your stuff together. but shown your way to the thing. And Alina, I want to have a scene with you and the asset. You meet up on the top of the container stack that is the exterior fake part of the base. And the asset is kind of looking out over the ocean. And he says to you, "So you met Dr. Ulysses?"
"Yes, she was very helpful in, identifying what needed to be done."
We're not sure exactly what's going on here, but something is happening with splinters of other universes hitting ours. This is the second time it's happened now.
Why? Why is it happening?
I don't know. After the first time, I thought it was a fluke. I thought it was just something that happened. We were able to deal with it pretty quickly. But this was worse. This was more serious. You and Sky dealt with this pretty well. I sent you out to look, to find out, to do some reconnaissance, to figure out what was going on. And you not only figured out what was going on, but you also dealt with the problem. And I'm proud of you. And I think that he is shifting your superior up and your freak down.
I'll take it for now.
Okay.
Her cheeks redden a little, but remembering herself, all in all, I came back with more people than I left with. This is bad. This was the entire landscape was different. That kind of displacement, it can't be good for the planet.
No, I agree. But you brought back the person you brought back, this navigator, seems like he's connected to this in some way. Or at least he was connected to what happened with his universe.
He seems to.
Or at least he believes he does.
He handles himself in a fight.
That's good. Between him and what he knows about what happened in his universe and Dr. Ulysses and what she knows about hers, hopefully we can figure out what this is. And I would like to task you with leading that up, with handling these splinters as they pop up. I'm assuming there will be more, because this is Protean City, and it would never just be two.
Yes, sir.
We're building something here. We're building, it's not Falcon, it's not the old guard. We're building some new thing to organize the heroes in Protean City. And I think that it's important that we dedicate something to that, or to this problem, some kind of a splinter division.
You turn to the last page of the comic and find a page of letters to the editor. Do you have questions or comments? Send your letters in written or short audio format to letters@protean.city with the comic your question is about in the subject line of the email. We'll publish your letters with every issue and include a response from our editors. The first letter reads, "Hello, Protean City editors. What is, according to you, the safest way to remove a dimensional splinter? I keep trying to pull this one out of my finger with pliers, but whenever I get close to them, they turn into crab pincers. Advice? Thank you for your letter. Splinters can be painful and dangerous, and dimensional splinters more so than most. They tend to have a central piece or powerful force holding them together, though, and if you disrupt that, then the whole thing can shatter. So it's best to isolate, dampen the power source, and remove slowly and carefully. And when in doubt, reach out for help."
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1.
The Navigator is played by Brian Tenney, who can be found on Twitter at NHSTenney. Direct Impact is played by Siobhan, who can be found on Twitter at SpellboundMage, on the Otherwear podcast, or on Twitch at twitch.tv/runawaysorcery, where she streams games.
The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.